You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
Hey, this episode is brought to you by you because That Story Show is listener supported. Find out more at patreon.com/thatstoryshow.
You're listening to That Story Show, playing all the hits, all the time.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, this is That Story Show where we're telling hilarious real-life stories and inviting you to do the same. This is episode 295, if you can believe it, on our way to 300. I am your host, my name is James Kennison, and my good friend is here.
Hey, this is Jim Crackcorn, and I don't care.
All right, sorry, this is John.
Hi, John.
And I do care.
Dad, have you taken your medicine today?
No.
Okay.
I don't take medicine.
Maybe,
I'm just so happy.
Maybe you should look into it. We also have a special guest host today. It's my son. His name is Jay. Say hello, Jay.
Hi.
Yeah, so he's going to be with us hanging out today. He got out of school, and I can't tell you much more about that because that's his weekly update for this week. So, how's everybody doing?
Good.
Oh, man. I'm as fine as frog's hair.
Yeah, that's a lie. I can tell right now.
Okay. My hair is fine as frog's hair, that's for sure.
But I'm glad that you are here, and thank you for doing the show, even though your life is probably a very stressful place.
It's the end of the school year.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been kind of down this week and last week, and so I'm looking forward to doing a good show, so...
I am too.
Let's jump into it. We always start with a story, and that's what we're going to do right now. This is called Banana Logic. Comes to us
like
from,
it already.
Comes to us from Flash J. Hey, my dad had a Navy buddy named Santos. It's pronounced Santos. And once when I was about 7, he bought a huge antique camera and a tripod with him, and he started setting it up in the living room. It was one of those really old ones with the accordion lens on it and a big old flashbulb thing that popped really loud when you used it. So my dad and his friend Santos decided it would be funny if they told us that they were going to shoot us all.
Oh.
And then go back to the Philippines with Santos. They were very convincing. And when it came time for the photo, I ran and hid under the kitchen table. Mind, he's 7, so he's taking this very seriously. No one could get me to come out. Even promises from my mom and threats from my dad couldn't get me to budge. Finally, my dad grabs a banana and sticks it under the table. And he says, "Eat this." And I took the banana and I ate about half of it. And he said, "Is it good?" And when I nodded, he said, "Do you really think I would feed you a perfectly good banana if I was planning on shooting you right afterwards? Of course not. I'd eat the banana myself and then shoot you." So I guess the dad logic worked on me because I came out and let him take the picture. And every time my mom showed that picture to someone, she had to explain why her son was holding half a banana in the family portrait. Hope that made you laugh. Cheers, Flash J.
That's awesome.
It's true that kids will believe anything that adults tell them and will get very serious about it. I remember one time I climbed up a tree onto my roof of my house. And but I couldn't get back down the tree. I was too scared. And a man pulled his truck up and told me to jump down on the hood of the truck. On the roof of the truck. And it couldn't have been more than 3 feet. And it would have been fine. And he was going to catch me and everything. But nothing he could say. No threats from my mother. Nothing at all could convince me to jump down off of that roof. There was no way.
Was it a random man?
It was just a friend of my mom's, so probably.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just random.
Some random dude.
I was driving through the neighborhood here, and I saw that kid up on the roof. Thought I'd help him get down.
I just like to save people in my spare time. So you look like you're in need of saving, son. So jump down on top of my truck. You know, I just didn't believe it. I thought it would cave in. I thought I would break my legs. Or
break his truck.
I wasn't thinking about living up there, but I guess that was my other option.
Yeah, I'll eventually come down when I'm hungry enough.
Yeah. I believe I eventually got brave enough to scale the tree back down is what happened. And then after that, I would do it all the time.
Yes. I got in trouble for climbing on the roof when I was a kid.
Really?
Because down in Florida, we had these, like, our roof had like no pitch to it. And instead of having, you know, shingles like normal houses, we had like these tiny pebbles on our roof. It was like,
you had a flat roof. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I would climb up there, man, I would run around and stuff and they could hear me. And I remember I came down once and I got a whooping.
Ooh.
And I was like, why'd you do that? They said, you were up on the roof. And I was like, how'd you know?
How'd you know?
I didn't even know. I was like, I guess they heard me. And so every time I went up there, I would try tiptoeing. And still with all those rocks on the roof, you could still hear me.
That's like my wife. When she was a kid, she spit her food out that she was supposed to eat in the sink. And then went back to her table because her parents were downstairs. And they come upstairs and they're like, Jennifer, you spit your food out in the sink. And she could not, with her 7-year-old brain, figure out how in the world they could have possibly known. And so what she came up with in her brain was they must have seen it in the pipes. Somehow they were able to see through the pipes. So kids think their parents can do magic.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not going to let them up on the, you know, the farce that we can't.
Yes, we do have eyes in the back of our head. My mom told me that and I believed her. And I looked hard through her hair. I'm like, they're covered up. She probably reaches back there and opens her hair when she needs it.
She's staring at my obviously, soul with her eyes in the back of her head.
Jen's parents obviously just saw probably the food in the strainer, you know. And obviously they weren't looking through the pipes for real. Or were they, Jay? Maybe they have magic. Jay. You think your granny had magic powers?
She could have.
Granny can do anything. Yeah. She's the best.
She mailed something 2 times.
Yes. Oh, what? Maybe that should be your weekly update. Let's do that. Yeah, if our family had a weekly rewind, that would probably be it. My Jay's granny is my wife's mom, and she's awesome. And she will get on Pinterest or something and find a craft that usually involves food. And she will go and buy all the parts and pack it in a box and spend like $15 to ship it to us.
And kinda like HelloFresh.
Yes. And then the kids get the instructions and they do the craft.
Oh, but, awesome.
But Granny's package got stolen off the front porch.
Which is so messed up because it said two kids from Granny. So why would you want to steal that?
It had cards in it.
Would do that.
Oh, man. People in the city, dude. These package thieves. They don't have a conscience. I hope they enjoyed their craft. So Granny found out about this. Too. And I ended up giving her the P.O. box to the show. And she used the show's P.O. box to send the same package. She went and got everything again, put it all together, and it was late.
Aww.
But she did it twice. Mm-hmm. And so if our family had a weekly update, that would be it, that Granny's awesome.
Granny's the best. Can she be my granny too?
No.
You think she's that mine. She would do it a third time and send it to Georgia?
No, because she lives
Come
there.
On, man. She does?
You can just walk to her house one day.
I'll just do that.
She does live in Georgia. So.
Well, then.
Well, there you go.
Fine.
It's probably a few hours from you, though, but it's worth it. She can she makes awesome sweet tea, too.
I'm gonna be at her house, and you're going to come walking in, and you're going to be all sad because she'll be my new granny.
No.
He's holding back. He's holding back. He's got comments, and he's holding back. He'll get more comfortable as the day goes on.
I'm trying to prod those comments out. So
okay, so my weekly update is that I was at Walmart the other day. And Walmart's always an adventure.
Yes.
There's not a Walmart. And this one, though, I thought would be better because it was in a nicer area, but it was, but I don't know. I guess crazy, weird people live everywhere.
And Walmart is the magnet that attracts them out.
It is. It absolutely is. I've seen some of the weirdest things I've ever seen at a Walmart. But I haven't heard that many weird things. And that's what sets today's weekly update apart a little bit, because I heard just somebody whistling like, like that. And like, I didn't think much of it at first, but then I'm like, wait a minute. That's like what in movies, the Native Americans would do, or the even the bandits would do to try to get each other's attention in the forest.
A bird call?
Yeah. Is what I hear. And except it sounds a lot better than what I'm doing. It sounds like a real call. And so I got my cart and I kind of diverted my attention and I started trying to track down where this sound was coming from. And it would move across the men's clothing department. And finally I found it. It was this pretty large lady. I would say rednecky kind of lady. And she was calling her children to her. They appeared out from under racks and around the jackets.
The whistle.
And they responded. She was just walking around the thing trying to tell her children it was time to go. And I didn't know whether to be impressed with her genius or just horrified at the whiteness, I guess. just like the... I don't know.
She's like a Southern Cinderella calling out the forest animals.
Mom's calling, let's go put down the iPad. You know,
get out from underneath them clothing racks, sister.
What call was it? It was the call to go to Mom. It wasn't the call to go to the bathroom. You know, it wasn't the 5 minutes left call. It was the we got to go right now call. So.
It's to show up and get next to the cart call.
And I have a thing. I have a thing that I do with the kids. It doesn't work all the time, but I call them both too. When we're out in public, and it worked mostly when they were younger, instead of having to say, Jay and Jenna, come on, I would say two. And they would both respond. And it was a way to save time, you know?
Right.
But I never thought about whistle. Just creating,
because you can't.
Yeah, I can do it a little bit better than that. But I was nowhere near as good as Mom was. Man, she was calling her children from the woods, the backwoods of Walmart, and that
come was, to me, dear children.
It was classic. Yeah, gather under the folds of my wings like a mother hen. Come to me, my biddies. You know. So yeah. I thought, you know, that it was crazy until I realized the alternative was what every other white trash mom was doing in the building, which was Billy, Cindy, come on, you know? So I was like, okay, wow. She wins redneck mom of the year. So
somewhere in the corner, there was a boy yodeling a song, right?
Hello, hello, my baby.
I don't know. I don't know what you're doing.
You ever heard of the Walmart yodeling boy?
No.
He's like a meme from a while back.
Oh.
He like became like a overnight superstar because of his yodel, and it went viral. And
okay.
Now he's like, hey, I'm yodeling, and he's wearing the boots and the white shirt. And
I'll look it up. One Google search will fix me right up. So
you'll have to play his yodeling song because it's so great.
Ugh. All right. So, what's your name?
Jay.
Why don't you go next?
So yesterday at school, since it rained so much yesterday.
So you're about to explain to us why you're not at school today.
Yes.
Okay.
Since it rained so much yesterday, there was a flood in one of the stairways that everybody uses, and there was a few spots in the cafeteria that were flooded.
So water was coming into your school.
Yes.
And this is this was because you took a dump. And
no, it was not. Yes.
You
it
clogged
not.
The toilet.
It was not.
And it backed up, and it's your poop
this
water.
This is my turn to talk.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, Mr. Snarky, see? Yeah.
So today, there's no school because they're trying to clean up all of the...
poop water?
No. Trying to clean up all the water, and they had to turn off all the water and stuff. So
they're like, no. Jay's the only one that needs to stay home
today.
There's
no school today.
I can't believe that. I mean, that almost sounds like a plot by the end of the year fifth graders to flood the school. Yeah. Their little masterminds got together. If we clog up all of the drain spouts, the house is going to flood over here, the cafeteria and all the main stairwell.
Well, what's bad is we're bad parents, because did we believe you when you told us?
No. You said the Mr.
He told us the principal even told him that there was no school.
You said the principal was dumb.
I said the principal don't know what's going on.
You even called a teacher dumb.
It's stupid.
Well, they usually send out a mass communication when they close school.
I didn't believe
it. Coming from a...
a fifth grader?
Yeah. Who hates school. So, you know, how was I supposed to trust anything?
But that sounds like he's crying wolf.
But I will say that when I went to pick him up from youth that Wednesday, yesterday, there was equipment and things being dug up in the front yard of the church. So I did secretly believe him. I just enjoyed messing with him.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused.
It made sense, but I still didn't believe you. So, but I've never done this before with a weekly update. But let's retell the story. Jay had to go to the bathroom really bad.
John, your turn.
Well, it's funny that you should have that as your weekly update, because I visited a school in St. Louis that some kid took a massive dumper in, and it flooded the school.
Wow. That's a lot like what happened here yesterday.
No.
And they called school off.
Yeah. They only called off school for the one kid that did it. And because they're like,
no,
they're like, we
no,
we can have the kids avoid
no
the poop hall
no
and the poop stairwell
no,
but we don't want that kid here.
No. It's called Jay's Brown.
No, it's not.
Jay's Brown Hall.
Ugh.
Ew.
Okay, no, I'm sorry, that was a lame.
Yeah.
Lame attempt. I apologize, Jay.
Okay. No, it's your turn.
Okay, I want to tell you guys about you. You know, I feel like I have the best luck when it comes to customer service.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like when I called Westinghouse, they were just so happy that I was calling them about my messed up TV and how they weren't going to fix it. And I have the best luck. I called another vendor yesterday. I'm going to call them out too, because they're a huge provider of internet and telecom services. They're also known as Comcast.
Tell us what Comcast did.
I wish I could come up with a crafty name about using Comcast, but I can't because I'm not angry. I'm just frustrated.
Okay.
So I've got these phone lines that I have to cancel, you know, work stuff here. And I call them and I'm like, hey, I need to cancel these numbers. And they're like, okay, well,
that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Immediately.
And it's not the first time. I'm not with the phone lines, but I tried to cancel a service before. And it's like, I'm just trying to end the service because we don't want to pay the bill anymore, you know?
Right.
And we don't use the service. So they're like, oh, well, it's just so difficult to get them to help you to cancel their service. And so they push you through these layers. And then finally you get to this last person. And I mean, it's like doom and gloom. Like, you know, if you cancel these numbers, you will never get them back.
A script they're going through, basically.
I guess so. And I'm like, we actually used the numbers, but they were moved over to another service. And like, we don't have any record of those numbers being ported. So if you cancel with us today, then you're going to lose those numbers forever.
You're going to die.
Better check this out because if, you know, the school can't get phone calls anymore, I might get in trouble.
Right.
mess that up. So I look into it and I'm going back and forth with these two different companies and it's just so frustrating, you know. If you're a customer service person, I want to thank you personally for doing that because you have the tail end of the job. But you don't have to make the customer that you're trying to provide service for feel like they are the tail end of your job. So,
So your weekly update is more of a LBB.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you think about it. I understand, man. It's terrible when that happens. You call and it's supposed to be something really simple and they try to sell you.
Right.
And keep you. And it's like, do you realize the harder you clamp down on a bird in your hand, the more it struggles to get away? And same with a customer, you know? The more you clamp down on me and try to keep me when I want to be free from you and I've already made my decision, the more I'm going from just I don't want your services anymore into the I hate your services realm, you know?
Yeah, and I have other choices here so I can go other places. And fortunately, they're not the only place in the world that provides.
Because for a lot of folks, they are.
Yeah, and I'm sorry.
Oh,
but. Well. You know what? I have something that's not so downer.
Okay.
And this is, I'm going to steal some of my son's thunder, but my son, Johnny, he got a job today.
Oh, wow.
There is a Chick-fil-A opening. I mean, this is huge for me, and I might start crying just telling you this, but there's a Chick-fil-A. They came to his school to do some recruiting because, you know, he's part of a classical school, homeschool type thing. And they came out there and they're like recruiting the kids. And he's like, well, Dad, I'm going to get an application. I'm like, well, you're 14. You probably can't do it. So he asked and they're like, yeah, we'll hire a 14-year-old. And so
yeah, they will.
I'm trying to set him up to be let down because not on purpose, but I'm just thinking, you know, you're 14 and they probably have a ton of candidates that would come through. And so I'm trying to, you know, get him ready to be let down gently.
Right,
so I'm
right,
telling
right.
him this stuff and. Like, and he got his application, filled it out, kind of took his time on them. Like, dude, you know, if you don't turn that application in, they'll look away. You know, they got lots of people to weed through. So he gets the application filled out and finally gets it turned in today. And he brings it to the new location where they're opening this Chick-fil-A up. And my wife said, they like hired him on the spot. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
She said they looked at his application and asked. They didn't look at it. They asked him a few questions, and I guess the Lord's favor was with him, and he starts in 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. Jay, when are you going to get a job?
Yeah.
I'm at 3 years.
3 years. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
You heard it here, folks. You heard it here.
I'm pretty excited about this, you know, because
you get a discount.
It's a weird feeling. Yes, when he's working, if we go and eat when he's working, I get 50%.
Dude!
Whoa, I thought it was like 30.
Well, I saw 50% on the text that my wife sent, and I'm like, man, I am going to skip going on a diet because I'm going to be eating so
much. Everybody's going to want to be a Steinklobber now.
Yeah, it's family only. But one of the nice things about being so close to the headquarters is there's so many Chick-fil-A's that open up around here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you're one of the first 100 in line, you get free Chick-fil-A for a year.
Yes. I had a friend that did that.
Yeah. I was thinking about doing it, but now that I'm related to somebody that's going to be working at, I'm probably exempt in some way, but
yeah, you don't even have to, man. 50% off that Christian chicken, man, that'll save you right up.
I'm just hoping he works a lot.
That's what worked in Fireproof. Have you ever seen that movie? The turning point of the entire thing was when he brought her Chick-fil-A.
Right.
That's when her heart changed towards him.
I don't remember that.
You need to watch it again then.
I do. Because I don't remember that at
all. You really don't. But if you do, I want you to notice that the turning point is the Christian chicken that he brings her.
So would that be in The Dark Night of the Soul where he brings the Chick-fil-A?
I don't know. You'll just have to. I haven't critiqued it to that level.
Save the cat reference.
Yeah, but it's definitely the point where he is starting to win her over. Like, it is the straw that broke the camel's back as far as positivity toward her heart,
way, right?
Toward his. Yeah, is. Bringing that Chick-fil-A in, sponsored by Chick-fil-A. True love.
Oh, man.
Brought to you by Chick-fil-A. Yeah. So, anyway.
I like Chick-fil-A.
It's time for a featured story.
Do it.
Let me tell y'all a story. Let me tell y'all a story.
Now, this story is going to be interesting to Jay because he's lived in my house and he doesn't even know about this that happened. But I like to call this story the home alarm system scam, or I should say fraud instead of scam.
Wait, what is a featured story?
Huh?
What do we do?
Oh, I just talk.
Oh.
And okay. You guys can respond and you can laugh and you can, you know, interject.
You can make fun of the guy telling the story.
Yeah.
Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But mostly you just listen. So anyway, when we bought this house, we inherited a home security system that came with it. Okay. And, my wife, took care of all the paperwork, and it was kind of weird because we were kind of doing the guy a favor because apparently the guy that sold the house to us was under contract. And if, even though we had already bought the house, the company was claiming that they could come in and take all of the equipment out. And we're like, you know, we bought this, you know, we bought the whole house as is, this is our stuff. And we heard that, yeah, that is the case. But what they're going to do is they're going to charge the guy who sold you the house for the full amount, like $2,000, you know, for the equipment. And I'm like, we can't do that. We need a home security anyway. Let's just go with these guys. So my wife signed a contract for 2 years. Mm. And so 2 years passes and I make the call. I want to cancel our service because we don't want to pay for monitoring. We still want to use the equipment. We just don't want to pay for monitoring. Cause we just don't need it. And, the lady on the phone, she is a butt. You want to talk about customer service? Service. Huh? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, we'd like to find out about cancellation service. Oh, really? Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes. Yes, ma'am. I would. Oh, really? And she's
really,
says, do you know that you have signed a contract? I'm like, yeah. And it should be up by, you know, the end of the week or whatever day it was. She's like, no, sir, your contract goes for another 2 years or another 3 years. That's what it was. It was another 3 years. And I'm like, what? And I call my wife. She's like, no, no, we signed a 2-year contract. And I called back. And because the lady on the other end was so snarky and she was so sure of herself. And she's like, yeah, you cannot get out of it. If you do, you're going to have to pay all this money and blah, 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 blah.
The cancellation penalty fees. And
yeah. I hated it. If I felt trapped. I'm like, what in the world? I said, you know what? Send me. She's like, she said this. This was what makes the story so great in my mind. She says, I have a signed copy of the contract right here. If you'd like me to send it to you. And I was like, yes, you know what? Go ahead and email it to me. She does. She sends it to me. And lo and behold, sure enough, it's signed. It says 4-year or 5-year contract right there. And at the same time, I had my wife send me the contract that she signed because we still had the original. You know, we had just faxed it over to them. And as I have them both on the screen, yeah, it's signed 5-year contract. On my wife's copy, though, the 5 is scratched out and there's a 2 written in. And it's got her signature. I look over the other one. There's no 2 scratched out. And the signature says Jennifer Kennison, but it is not her signature.
I know. That is not cool.
Oh, man. But a grin Comcast the size company. Of the crescent moon spread across my face as I realized I had these guys. So what had happened, obviously, is the salesman had nodded his head and agreed to whatever my wife had said. And when he got that contract in the fax machine, he whited out the parts that he didn't like. And he didn't white it out. He started a new contract. He left off the 2-year and kept it a 5-year and forged my wife's signature onto the document.
That's against the law.
It is. It's called fraud.
Wow.
And so I had a wonderful, 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 wonderful. Oh, it was just the best feeling of calling back this butthole lady.
It's LBB.
And I said, yeah, thank you for sending me this incriminating document because it proves that's not my wife's signature. We have a copy of what we signed and that is not it. And I was then able to write a strongly worded but kind letter, basically saying, we don't see any need to sue anybody. We haven't been hurt in any way by this, but we do expect that our contract is now null and void. And you know, we expect this thing to just be over right this second and as if we never had any business to do with you in the first place. And they did, man. That same lady, she was just so nice and she was so friendly and so mousy. What's the word? Timid, you know, just okay, please, you know, don't sue us. Don't kill us, you know.
She didn't want to be
in trouble. Yeah,
by the police or something.
The police. I could have sent the police to get her.
That's not
really her. I could have caused a big fuss. But all I wanted was my original request. Just cancel our freaking service. And then we'll be fine. No, you can't do that. You have a 5-year contract. It's up in 3 years. What? No, I don't. Yes, you do. I have a signed contract right here. Well, can you send it? I'll send it to you. And sure enough, she did. And sure enough, it wasn't my wife's signature. And man,
wow,
it was just so satisfying to be able
to want to call them out, eh?
To be able to step to them. And you know, that attitude that she had just had to totally change. And they let us keep the equipment and they pulled the plug and did the thing and everything's handled. And I couldn't help but remember the story that's gone down in history about the Norwegian lady that I ran into at Disney World.
Yeah.
Who was so rude and wouldn't listen to me as I was trying to explain to her that I had left my pass back in the hotel. And she's like, no, I have news for you. I have news for you, sir. You cannot speak because I am speaking over you. You know, she was just horrible. This lady, I think, was related to her, and she had a very similar, she didn't have the accent, but she had the attitude down pat. Man. And it was just so satisfying. It would have been the equivalent of me being able to reach through the glass at Disney World, grab that lady's collar slowly and pull her toward the glass. My hand could go through the glass, but her face couldn't. So it would press up against the glass and it would say, I would be able to say, listen to the words that I am saying instead of talking over me. And I would explain to her that I left my pass at the thing and I just needed a temporary pass for the day. Oh my gosh. It was so satisfying and wonderful. And I didn't have to sin or scream or yell, even though I would have been well within my rights. I was just able to flatly talk. You know, I dropped some keywords. I did. You know, I said, we don't need to sue. We don't need to pursue action, even though this could be considered fraud, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I let them know that I knew I had them over a barrel, but they quickly and quietly made it all go away.
You should have said that they had to pay for what you had to pay for the whole thing.
I know. I did consider trying to get a refund for the entire time, but in my conscience, I was like, we did use the service. They haven't cost us any money. It would only be if they continued it and wouldn't have let us out of the contract that I would have done that. So
that contract stuff, man, that, because Comcast did that too. Now, fair enough. I didn't know that we were under contract for a while, but that was like, they waited till the very end of the conversation. Oh, you're under contract. If you don't leave one of these numbers, you're going to be charged a cancellation fee and this and that. I'm like, man, come on.
It's their final arrow in the quiver.
And I'm not even sure that we really are, because I haven't seen the paperwork. So,
hey, get them to fax the original contract to you and check that signature.
Look for a signature.
That's right, dadgummit. I'm not going to say the company name, you know, or anything like that, because I don't blame the company. I blame the salesman, because I know what his deal was. He wanted a full commission. And so he just spanked up the paperwork there and he got his payoff. And the only unknown part that I kind of hope happened, I hope he had to repay part of whatever his commission was on that, because he gypped his company is what he really did. So anyway, that's that. Let's do some listener stories. All right, this one's called the Maybe Funny Pea Story.
Maybe
funny. Yeah, it's from Tom on Discord. He says, yes, all right, to James and John. I'm going to read it exactly how it said. Yes to James and John. I have a funny story for you, maybe. So our teacher was telling a story from when he was young. When he was about 18, he was in high school. Usually they left the door open so the air would air out the room. Keep that in mind. So please, guys, keep that in mind. They would keep the door open to air out the room. Okay.
Got it. In mind.
One day, him and his classmates with his teacher walked into the room. Keep that in mind, too.
The room that was being aired out?
Yeah.
With the door open?
Same one. Okay. The kids/teenagers sat down, but the teacher didn't. Keep that in mind.
Keep that in mind.
So let's review all the things you have in your mind.
I didn't remember anything.
The door is open. He's not keeping nothing in mind.
He didn't do it. He's not obeying. They're airing out the room. All of the people walked in the room and they sat down, but someone did not. Who was it?
Tom.
No, the teacher. The teacher didn't sit down. Tom's not even here. This is about this is a story about his teacher from when his teacher was 18. So they all sat down, but the teacher didn't. 10 minutes later, when he did sit down, when he sat down, it says 10 minutes later, when he sat down, period. When he sat down, mysteriously, his pants got wet. Dun, dun, dun! In all caps, the seat was covered in pee!
So many questions.
Oh, where did the pee come from?
That's disgusting.
What does the open door have to do with any of this?
Why is the room being aired out?
Oh, everyone laughed for a really long time from Tom. P.S. You should do a theme show at episode 300 of Funny Milestones. Okay.
What are milestones?
Milestones are things that used to be on the side of the road that marked how many miles long your road was. Now yeah. they have signs that'll say mile 100, mile 101.
Called mile markers.
Yeah, they're called mile markers. Yeah. Sometimes they're green, sometimes they're blue. But milestones, in the general sense, are things in your life that you remember.
Accomplishments.
Yeah,
yeah.
That you've accomplished. So
like the first day you said Wookiee. Or
yeah.
the first time you recognized, you know.
The first time you made $100, that's a milestone in your life, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
When you got your Nike outfit, you know, that was a milestone in your life.
When did I make $100?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I wish.
Yeah.
So anyway, John, hit us with a story.
Okay. This story is called No Brie for Me, and it's from Jen in England.
Yeah.
Oh.
Cue dun 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 dun.
I say, oh, boy.
Hey,
listen
cheerio.
To the story. I'm sorry. I will not offend anybody with my crappy accents.
Okay.
Or I will. Okay, Brie. Now, Brie, that's like a cheese, right?
I believe so, mate.
Good then. All right. Oh. Good. I say.
Horrible Henry Anderson. The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
I like that movie.
It's a great movie. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Jen says, I love this podcast. I'm from England, so it's fun to learn more about American life. Here is my story. Do you think we paint a good picture of our American lives through this podcast?
If someone only listened to this show and then came to America, I would be scared of what they thought they were going to find.
Oh,
because we have talked about Walmart, customer service, whistling moms, and fart jokes pretty much the whole time.
Mm.
And Jay's poop. Tearing down the school.
You have. Because you're saying that because you did it as a kid.
Oh.
double burn.
I never pooped outside of my own house when I was a kid. Mm. I never pooped at school.
I still don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
That's a lie. Okay, sorry. Back to Jen's story.
Yeah, sorry, Brie.
My story. I was doing teacher training and lived with a very nice old couple in a small village in Devon. I want to go there just because it sounds awesome. They would make me food as part of the rent. Wait a second. They would make her food as part of the rent?
Yeah. That's cool. That's a sweet deal.
Sweet. I like that. They would make food as part of the rent and I could help myself to anything. Once we were sitting around the table and I wanted to have some brie on toast.
That sounds very English.
I would love to have a full English breakfast. In real life and in real England. So, Jen, if I ever make it over there, you.
But they have a lot of things on toast.
Yeah.
Like there's a thing called Eggy in a Basket where they cut a hole in the toast and they fry an egg inside of it. They have beans on toast.
They have beans for breakfast.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's gross. I don't even
that's
like
that's great. Beans. Start your day off
you
with a
You can
blast.
Go there and see how good it is.
I will. You mark my words there, Jay.
He's excited, Jay, because beans make you fart. That's why.
Wow.
No, because I like beans.
No, because you like farting.
That's disgusting.
How dare you, Jay? How dare you? You don't. You don't know this man.
You don't know me. Sorry, back to Jen's story. Okay, so the brie had been out of the fridge for a day, but I didn't know this. I started spreading it onto my toast, and I looked and realized there were oh, no.
yes.
There were things moving around on the toast.
Ew.
I thought it was a bit strange. But was about to take a bite until I realized the toast was covered in tiny maggots.
Tiny maggots! Man, I'm getting a lot of use out of that sound today.
Oh, tiny maggots.
Tiny. Just little ones. Little babies.
I immediately put the toast down, and we all laughed about it. But now I can never eat again.
Tut tut, here you go. Quite, I say, quite right.
I say there, Jen, you've almost eaten some maggot-infested brie. How do you feel about yourself?
Oh, I clever. Apologize clever that, girl.
Clever. She finishes, says, thanks for the podcast. I'm enjoying it on my 2-hour bus ride to work.
2 hours on a bus. Dang.
Wow, Jen.
I hope that's a good job. I didn't even know England was 2 hours across.
Dude.
I guess it's stop signs and stuff.
Well, I've never been to England, but I love everything that I know of your country, Jen. And thank you for sharing that disgusting story with the tiny maggots.
Why? Just spreading a little brie around. No big deal. She says she can't eat brie ever again. No, I can't.
What is brie?
I think it's a type of cheese.
It's a soft cheese. It's got an interesting kind of casing for it. But I mean, it's delicious. It's kind of a mild cheese.
I've seen it.
It's a soft cow's milk cheese.
Yeah, it's like soft in the middle, and then it's hard.
It's named for the French region from which it originated.
Ah, okay.
And, yeah. It's pale in color with a slight grayish tinge under a rind of white mold.
The rind, yes.
Oh, it's mold? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm
looking at it now. It looks like a piece of pie with white sugar sprinkled on it. But
it's not.
This is not a cheese an American would be like, yeah.
I like brie. This.
Really?
I will eat, yes. I eat brie on crackers with a little bit of jam.
Oh, I'm getting sugar.
But not after this story. I probably will never even look at it.
It doesn't look good.
Or think about it. Tastes good.
It looks really gross.
It looks like the middle is, like it was a cake and the outside is done, but the middle is underdone.
It looks like somebody left out a cheesecake is what it looks like.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, it does kind of look like that, yeah. But it's delicious. Take my word for it.
No, I will not. I will, actually. I will take your word
for it. It looks too much like a dessert.
No, I will not.
Yeah, I'm absolutely eating it myself. That's what I realized I was saying. And I'm like, no, I will take your word for it. I just won't believe you. But I will take your word for it. This one's called Bathroom Bungle. Hey, guys, I'm Nick. I'm a student at Harvey Mudd College. In April of my 7th grade year, my class went on an overnight field trip to a campground in the forest. Upon arriving, the boys and the girls were split up and assigned cabins. The cabins were right next to each other. In the middle was a larger building with a bathroom for the boys and another for the girls. After a day of fun activities, we returned to our cabins to go to sleep. But as we boys were getting ready for bed in the bathroom, we noticed a dispenser of some sort next to the sinks. Someone inserted a quarter and out came a long piece of cotton with a string attached to it. I'm not sure if you guys can get away with saying exactly what it's called on your podcast, so let's just call it the object. That's a good idea. As seventh graders at a conservative Catholic school, we had absolutely no idea what the object was. So we showed it to the parent chaperone in our cabins and asked for an explanation. And he very uncomfortably talked to us about the workings of the human body and turned what have been a fun field trip about outdoor education into an awkward puberty lesson. So that's so messed up. The next morning, the chaperone asked us where we found this object. It never occurred to us to tell him where it came from. So we walked him down to the bathroom and showed him the dispenser. It was then that we questioned why this object was in the boys' bathroom at all. Confused, we asked the girls if they had one in their bathroom. And after an awkward moment of shy giggling and excessive blushing, they searched their bathroom and found no such dispenser. What they did have in their bathroom, however, were urinals. We boys just then realized, hey, we didn't have any urinals in ours. At that point, we realized we had been using the wrong bathrooms the entire time. Oh, no! It's madness! Anyway. The world's ending! So messed up. But the weird part was that the signs were clearly marked which bathroom was which. Upon closer inspection, however, we realized that each sign was reversible. One sign had the word men and the other had the word women. Was this mix-up just an accident? Probably not, as it was 3 days after April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
Thanks to that trip, we learned the difference between men and women from Nick in San Francisco Bay Area, California. Great story.
Holy crap.
Holy crap. All right, John, this is the one I've been saving just for you, buddy.
It's oh, goody.
Called Shredded Cheese.
Shredded Cheese. Is there a theme here? Because that last one was about cheese.
I don't know. It's not on purpose.
Okay. Well, this comes to us from Philip and I can't pronounce Oostburg.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wisconsin. Okay, we'll just say that.
Yeah.
Wisconsin. Philip Ludens. Thanks, Philip. Okay. My nephew Drew and I were sitting together the other day and he asked, do anything fun at work this week? Question mark. I work at a cheese factory, so I told him, same as always, went in and cut the cheese. I like that. I expected a laugh or gross, but got nothing. Wow. I asked him if he knew what people actually usually mean when they say that. Farts. This was new to him. So we talked a bit about other weird things people say instead of fart for a bit, and that was that. The next day, my sister comes into the house. I just farted in the car, and Drew just said, ew, mom. Sister's admitting to that she cut the cheese? Did you just shred the cheese? You just shredded it. She couldn't stop laughing. We all know what cutting the cheese is, but I don't want to know what shredding the cheese is. And I definitely don't want to be in the car when you do. Let me tell you about shredding the cheese, yeah. Bro.
Nephew Drew took it to the next level. He went past cutting the cheese straight to shredding.
Straight to shred.
So what would shredding the cheese be like?
Okay, so I'm just going to imagine this through with you, okay? So if cutting the cheese is like this.
Okay.
Okay, so breaking the cheese is like.
Okay.
I'm guessing that shredding the cheese is going to have something a little bit more involved with it, and maybe something like.
Jay, does that work for you?
No, none of them did.
Sometimes it might be a little chunky.
What?
Shredding the cheese is definitely going to have chunks
in it. There might be some residue after you shred the cheese.
If you shred the cheese, you're getting rid of your boxers. Or briefs, whatever you happen to be wearing.
I just love that the kid talked to his mom about that. Gross, mom. You just shredded the cheese.
No, I think it's hilarious that because in my house, well, in my current home, the girls don't toot or fart.
Right.
Now, growing up when I was a kid, they all did. And it for some reason was celebrated in my house. So I've gotten into this mentality that girls just don't do that anymore. So that she's walking into the house and saying, Hey, Philip, I just farted in the car, and my son said, ew, mom, you just shredded the cheese.
Yeah, it's almost like she was upset with her with her brother for educating her son improperly. So he just got a little confused, that's all. That's all. But maybe she did shred the cheese. Maybe
she shredded it, bro.
So maybe she had to go to Walmart.
He works at a cheese factory. That's so cool.
That is cool.
I want to go visit.
One time when I was doing a children's VBS, every night I would do a puppet with my sister. My sister would be this character, and I would be the straight man on the outside talking to the puppet. And every single night of that week, which was four nights, I think, we had a different story that we would tell, and it would always end up being about farts. But we would work our way around it. Really? Yes. Huh?
In VBS?
Yeah. Yeah.
You could get away with that?
We did because I don't know. I just did. I was young and stupid and but we were real subtle about it. So she would come up and she would say, you know, hello, my name is Felicity. And, you know, I was stuck on the side of the road and my car was out of gas and I didn't have any gas and I needed some and a man, he went and got me some gas, and he came and he passed his gas to me.
That's brilliant.
And he was, and I'm like, what? And she's like, yes, he was so nice to pass the gas to me. And then the next night was something about she had some friends over, and somebody threw a pillow up in the sky, up in the air, and it hit the ceiling fan, and she broke the wind. It was terrible. She broke the wind. And it, no, no, Felicity. No. Yes, she did. She broke the wind on me. It fell on me. And then the first night, though, we went with her going to Publix, which was the grocery store, going to the deli, and having the gentleman behind the counter cut the cheese. And he says, it was cutting the cheese and cutting the cheese. And I'm like, stop cutting the cheese. And he continued to cut the cheese. So, but we did, yeah. So pass gas, we did break the wind. We did, cut the cheese. Is there any others? Because I thought there was one more, but maybe it was just
We made one up on the show at one point.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. But, we had a lot of fun with that. That was a great thing. Yeah, this one's called Recreational Volume. It's from Robert Harrington. My wife and I recently bought a new travel trailer. Lucky.
Yeah.
We planned a short trip about 90 minutes away to test everything out before we planned a longer trip further away. Lucky. Some friends who also bought a trailer went with us. Lucky.
Wasn't us.
No. So we were all staying in an RV park along with lots of other RVers. After a big breakfast, we retired to our respective trailers to rest up for lunch. It was in the 90s, and our little AC was humming away without stopping.
I was thinking like it was in the 1990s. Yeah. What? You just bought this thing in the 90s?
You have an old trailer. So we decided to watch something and take a nap as the AC ran. We chose an action-packed movie and settled in. As with most action movies, the dialogue is much quieter than the explosions and gunfire, and it didn't help that the AC was droning on. So I sat with the remote in my hand, turning the volume up and down as needed. So the RV park had a terrible cell phone reception and no Wi-Fi. So when the movie was wrapping up, I checked my phone, and then, just then, I received two text messages from our friends that had been sent 2 hours before, and they both read, I think your outside speakers are on, and the, and the second one read, are you watching Deadpool 2? Our inside and outside speakers on the RV were on. I hope everyone in the RV park enjoyed the movie's creative dialogue as much as we did. Robert Harrington.
So. Oh, man.
What a movie to broadcast, too, boy. I'm surprised somebody didn't come and knock on the door.
When was this?
It was back in the 90s. No, he didn't say. He said it was recently.
And it kept getting louder and quieter.
he turned it up so he could make sure everybody could hear the dialogue. How kind of him to sit there and DJ like that. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, man. That's the worst.
That's almost like wearing headphones and farting in the library. It's that good.
People have done that stuff, man. It's not funny. I know,
that's one of them. My son does it all the time. He wears headphones when he's James. He sits like watching the computer and he's watching YouTube and he's got headphones on and dude's just popping caps like the whole time. I'm like, James, he's like, what?
It reminds me of a joke. It's one of those Facebook jokes that are all written out on a graphic that's been passed around one too many times, but it's something about an old lady. She goes to a doctor and she's like, I don't understand, but I'm having tons and tons of gas, but it doesn't make noise. And it doesn't smell. And he's like, really? Are you sure? And she says, absolutely, because I've been farting the entire time we've had this meeting and you haven't responded or even noticed. And he's like, okay, ma'am, I want you to take this medicine and then come back tomorrow. So she comes back tomorrow having taken the medicine. She says, oh, he says, has there been any difference? She says, yes. She says, I still... don't make noise, but my farts have started to smell. And he says, oh, good. We got your sinuses cleaned up. Now let's check out your hearing. But I'm pumped. So, yeah. You don't get it? She couldn't hear. So she had been fart and she couldn't farting. Smell because her sinuses were full.
Oh.
So she was farting crazy all the time and didn't, thought she was getting away with it, but she couldn't hear and she couldn't smell. So there you go. The joke you have to explain. It's a great one.
That's the best.
It's all right. Let's close this show out. It's about that time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? Send your stories. Oh, do you have any funny stories? We want to give you some ideas about how about going to the doctor or waiting in line or falling down. If you have stories like that, send your stories. Email our audio to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. Thatstoryshow.com is the website. Follow us on Twitter at thatstoryshow or at NLcast. Review us in iTunes or however you found us. I just want to say thanks to the guys that reviewed this month. That would be the Eggman 81, Larry Enser, Miss Sweet, Fuse Bay, True Believer, Poppy Pop Start 2012, and Glyphka Skinnikik. And then Cat Rates Podcast. Those are all of our reviews just from this month. We appreciate them.
Wow.
We love them, and we thank you so much for them. If you want more great shows like this one, visit NLcast.com. Thanks to our patrons for their support, with special thanks to James Spangler, Eric Kume, Zane Estrada, Janu Striesbeck, and Kerry Wright. Become a patron today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, gross, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed, don't get depressed. Just think, hey, you know what? This probably belongs on That Story Show. Jay, next time you hear this, you're going to know what you need to do, man.
Okay.
All right. So,
what is that with a whistle for?
Hi.
Hi. He's already here.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, it's end card time. Just had a couple things I wanted to bring to your attention. First of all, I wanted to thank our April patron supporters, Susan Monk and Lucas Kirk. Thanks for joining the Patreon family. Susan Monk being brand new to the program, and Lucas Kirk for upping his sponsorship. You can always think about sponsoring us and go over to patreon.com/thatstoryshow, and you can do a couple bucks a month or whatever. It's very helpful. I wanted to mention that there's a possibility that we are scheduling a meetup for Florida. It would be in June, and it would be in Orlando. So if you are in the area and would like to be a part of this meetup, email me, james@nlcast.com, and I will keep you in the loop. Also, we're planning on a St. Louis meetup. If you're in the St. Louis area, June 29th. And again, email me at james@nlcast.com if you'd like to be in the loop on that. It'll probably just be dinner somewhere here local. Me and my family will be there, and you guys, whoever else wants to show up. The last thing I want to mention is my brand new podcast with my wife. It's called We're Both Right. You can find it at wearebothright.com. It's an advice and opinion show, and we have 3 episodes available. You can also find it in iTunes and Google Podcasts and wherever fine podcasts are sold. So that'll do it, and we'll see you guys next time. Thank you so much for listening. You're the best audience in the world. Take care.